And just relax. We are here to receive from God. He's going to remind us of some things from His Word. And then He's going to stir our hearts. And let me ask you a question. How many have served the Lord for a little while? How many served the Lord a long little while? You can tell when you stretch your arm, there's a cobweb from your elbow to your head, right? If you've served the Lord for any amount of time, let me ask you a question. Has prayer played a role in you receiving from God? Right? Matter of fact, biblically, the normal pathway that people take to receive from God is through prayer. I mean, God can come down like, you know, Acts 10 while Peter's in the middle of his preaching and the Holy Spirit just fills the room and Lord, let that be tonight. But the normal pathway that people take to receive from God is through prayer. So we're going to end this service by praying. And we're going to pray together. How many of you have prayed before? You know, all right. If you prayed before, have you noticed that a lot of times when you start praying, that it's kind of clunky and awkward and distracted, and it takes a little while to kind of get your alignment on the, anybody else like that? Me neither. But there are terrible people like that that we really should shun. No. A lot of times prayer begins that way, and many people feel like you have to start out prayer by having some sort of excessive eruption of feelings, you know, from inside or something like that. But I challenge you, after we're done teaching, we go to prayer, we just hop right in, cannonball, and deep into prayer, and let's just push right on past and just open up our hearts and let the Holy Spirit just flood and fill our hearts through that normal avenue that He so often uses as we humble our hearts and humble ourselves before the Lord. All right, you ready? And so I hope you'll give God that opportunity. Tomorrow night, Saturday night, are we at 7 o'clock or are we at 7 o'clock tomorrow night too? Tomorrow night I'm going to be teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and kind of taking some steps back from them. I think sometimes we look too surgically at them and we forget how they express the character and nature of God through our lives. And so we're going to open up our lives and allow the Holy Spirit's gifts to flow. And I'm believing God to awaken, especially some of our younger people in the gifts of the Spirit. In any given church, a lot of times, publicly at least, a lot of times it's the people that have served the Lord a long time that are used. And if that's you, please don't stop. But how many like to see our sons and daughters prophesy as well? Yeah, you know? Yeah. And so we're just going to believe God and really stir that up. And then on Sunday morning, we're going to dive in and we'll unpack the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you've come tonight going, I want to get baptized in the Spirit, God will give God opportunities to do that as well. But the teaching component of that will be Sunday morning. And then Sunday night, I'm not done yet. So I don't know. I might be talking about the virtue of the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday night. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I hope you'll give God that opportunity. Hey, if you're interested also, on the ministry table, some of our books and some other materials back there, we never make a big deal about them. But here in a nutshell, when I was 14 years old and felt called into the ministry to teach on the Holy Spirit, growing up in an Assemblies of God church like this, but in Pennsylvania, I didn't, you know, teaching for us was Sunday school involving flannel graph. Anybody remember flannel graph, right? It was either Sunday school or it was like Bible college, and I knew neither of those really worked. But I couldn't imagine anyone coming into a church service and teaching on the Holy Spirit, because to me, teach was monotone, too much data, you know, take a nap, wake up at the end kind of a thing. I didn't get all of that. And but part of what the Lord laid on my heart, that part of that teaching element would be in resources to help people grow, and that those resources, books and things like that, would go places we could never go. We would never know the fruit of them. But God has been so gracious and enabling. And so if you're interested in taking advantage of that, there's some things back there. There are three basic things. There are some audio teaching stuff that's on CDs if you're interested in that. Here's a set called The Holy Spirit Inside. And it's a lot of the things that people have never heard before out of the Bible about the Holy Spirit's work inside. Like we always talk about Jesus living in your heart. How many have Jesus in your heart? How many have Him in your spleen? Your gizzard? Any other vital organs? But really the Bible teaches us that our entire body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit, and how that changes our thinking and our pursuits and helps us in our pursuit of becoming less like us and more like Jesus. Some really helpful stuff in this. There's also some DVD teaching back there. This red one called Realms of Prayer. If your prayer life needs a jump start, that's a great one. We share the story on here of how actually it was 14 years ago last week, August 4th, that our youngest son was abducted briefly in Indonesia. And I tell the story on there and how prayer plays a role and all that. But anyway, some interesting stuff on there to really help your prayer life. And then our newest book, Goodbye Chicken, Hello Dove, about overcoming your fears by welcoming more of the Holy Spirit's power. So there's some stuff back there hope you take advantage of it. Well, normally I like to start teaching with scripture, but this morning or this evening I want to instead start with some charts. How many people like charts? Three of us, right? All right, so I'm excited about it. But there, I have found over the years that there is one issue about the broader topic of speaking in tongues, one issue of confusion that has really caused many people that don't have a growing up background with solid teaching on it, has caused them to have a lot of concern and confusion over it. Biblically, today, a lot of teaching on tongues, and not necessarily from our Pentecostal or charismatic circles, but from outside sources on that, the idea of tongue speaking is just one thing. And so, with misunderstanding on tongue speaking, just being this one bucket that you can ladle out either personally or publicly, this one bucket then all of a sudden begins to be something that has a lot of confusion. And they go, "Oh no, I hope there's not a tongues. We have visitors here," and you know, and we end up having kind of a disdained view of it. But how many of you know, whenever we do these things biblically and correctly, that it's all benefit. It's all good. It's just when people get involved. How many of you are people? Yeah. An astonishingly low number of people. But just when people get involved, that's when the problems come. And so I want to, hopefully here with a chart or two, I want to kind of show you the difference between the two very different biblical types of tongues. Let's look at those if we can for a moment. So let's go back one actually, okay, just for a quick second. Biblically, we have personal tongues. And so that's a label that I have selected. It speaks more to the function of it, personal tongue. So how many of you are a person? How many have a tongue? See how that works out, all right? And so personal tongues, this would be the equivalent of our main topic tonight, praying in the Spirit. And then secondly, public tongues. The Apostle Paul tells us that a public gift of tongues would have to be required, accompanied by what in order to make it? The interpretation of tongues, yeah. The interpretation. It's not the technical word-for-word translation, but it is the essence of the meaning, interpretation. It's a much freer word saying this is basically what's been said. And I think that's probably, and I'll step away from the pulpit because this is my conjecture, but I think it's probably so that people would not be tempted to try to elevate these sorts of gifts to the place of saying, "I'm literally dictating the voice of God right now." How many think that could get you in trouble in the long haul, right? So this is an instant activational word, bring into our remembrance, edification, exhortation, comfort, etc., something that God wants us to be reminded of in these moments. So the Apostle Paul uses two very different verbs in the Greek text for these two things in 1 Corinthians 14. In fact, when you read through 1 Corinthians 14, and one sitting, you read through it, you see pretty much his main argument is, his main challenge that he's doing, he's trying to help the Corinthian church understand the propriety, the proper operation of both of these. He's trying to make sure that someone's not up here praying in tongues over the microphone for an hour while everybody just sits there with crickets chirping, going, "That's great that, you know, pastor's getting blessed, but the rest of us, what in the world, you know?" He's trying to make sure that everyone is being benefited, that nothing is done that would be of selfish motivation and would instead be attracting attention to themselves, but instead would be attracting attention to the Lord and building everybody else up. And so in this context, the Apostle Paul uses two very different verbs of the Greek. Now, I have to say, you do not need to understand Greek to understand the Bible, right? And good English translations, actually there's many of them now. There is one Greek word that I think every Christian, I think, probably already knows this Greek word. It's the word baklava. How many know that word? Very, if you don't know that word, where Jesus said, "I'm the bread that came down from heaven," it's not it, but it should be. It's a good word. He uses two very different Greek words for these. For the personal one, to pray in tongues, Paul uses the word, the normal Greek verb to pray, prosukamai. That's the Greek word for prayer, or to pray. He uses that word for the personal one. And for the public one, that is really, Paul states as one of the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit. I think technically, and the way Paul puts them together at the very end of the list of nine, and almost hyphenates them. You really could say that really there would be 8 manifestation gifts of the Spirit listed, but the last one is a 2-part gift like JB Weld. You know, you need both of them together to make things stick properly. And so this is kind of the way these work. So of the public gifting, he uses